Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation, so big that this is the 400th edition. Quite a milestone, I hope you will agree. And let me take this opportunity to thank everyone who's watched throughout those 400 episodes and all those who've worked with me to make them possible. It can sometimes even be the great debate, but that depends on you. Above all, as always, I need your telephone calls. 44208-601-4555 is the number to call. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or I'll have to move swiftly on. You can also SMS the show on 44780008066, and the best of those will come up on the comment wall if they're good enough. Ditto emails, and the address for that is comment@presstv.co.uk. You can even tweet us at comment_presstv. Tonight, we're asking, did your country mark Bahrain's 5th year uprising? Well, the chances are very high that your country did not. As a matter of fact, we've been scanning the Twitter feed of the British Foreign Secretary and can't find anything about Bahrain for a very long time past. Lots of other things have been referred to in Philip Hammond, the British Foreign Minister's Twitter feed. All kinds of arcana, all kinds of trivialities, but nothing so serious as the fact that a small people on a small piece of territory called Bahrain are still being shot down, still being tortured, still cast into dungeons. Democracy is non-existent. The leaders of the democracy movement are in the aforementioned dungeons. What's Britain and other countries got to say about it? Well, frankly, how much do you want to buy? Britain has sold $65 million worth of weapons to the dictatorship in Bahrain during these 5 years of murder, torture, and exile. It's striking that Britain, that affects such outrage at human rights abuses in countries where it suits Britain to do so, has nothing to say about the repression of democracy and freedom in Bahrain beyond how many guns can we sell you. Well, there's one more thing. We've actually opened a naval base, a Royal Navy base in Bahrain, whilst freedom and democracy is being crushed underfoot. It's the first foreign military base that Britain has built in 50 years, and they chose Bahrain to build it. Not just because of their very close friendship with the tyrants who run Bahrain, but because Britain wants to have its own little piece of the action in the Persian Gulf, as part of the national obsession, it seems, with seeming to be bigger and more powerful than our country actually is. We're spending money on a military base in Bahrain whilst our old age pensioners shiver through another austerity winter. Oh, there's one more thing, so far as Britain is concerned. That's them digging the first piece of soil for that. That's Hammond. And that's, I suppose, the ruler of Bahrain. The Al Khalifa family have been in power since the foundation of the state of Bahrain. I've met the prime minister, the uncle of the ruler. He's been the prime minister since 1963. That is to say, he was the prime minister before the Beatles, and the Beatles are 40 years dead. But there was one more thing. We sold weapons to our best friend in the region, Saudi Arabia, which were then used to crush the democracy movement in Bahrain. Well, actually, it isn't crushed. There isn't a single day in the last 5 years when the brave people of Bahrain have not risen up in one place or another, in one way or another, to unfurl the flag of freedom and democracy. Even when they're shot down, even when they're dragged away, young and old, men and women, boys and girls, even when they're tortured. And I have a long history with the torturers in Bahrain. I was exposing them in Parliament almost 30 years ago. Yes, 30 years ago. They do quite a line in President Obama's words of torturing some folks in Bahrain. Well, they're still at it, and we're giving them weapons the better to do it with. We're giving Saudi Arabia weapons the better to help them do it with. And we're digging for a naval base in Bahrain, a country which is no more than a prison camp. A prison camp which lies under the shadow of the grim Saudi dictatorship. So when I ask you the question, did your country mark Bahrain's fifth year of uprising? I think I know the answer in 99% of the countries in the world. It's a particularly unfortunate reality that the suffering in Bahrain is being overshadowed by the suffering in Yemen, in Libya, in Syria, in Iraq, and in Palestine. But that doesn't mean that we should overlook or forget it. And we at Press TV certainly will never overlook and never forget the brave people of Bahrain. So hit the phones. Tell me what you think. Ali's on the line in New York. Ali, welcome to the show again.
George, thank you very much for having me here today. A great pleasure to talk to you as always.
Thank you.
Bahrain is a complex and perfect example of neocolonialism of this era, of our era, and a petrodollar result, like the results that are coming from petrodollar money. The question, I don't know how should I explain, but I wanted to tell you, like, how can a country, like my country here where I am living, it's like USA, how can a country controlled by media celebrate it? Let me actually give you a little bit perspective. You know, every time when we read New York, when we read CNN, they call Press TV and RT and other channels as state-controlled media. In response to that, I call these channels, European and USA media, as that this is, these states are controlled by this media. So these media are media, these states are actually media-controlled states. And it's playing a big, big role. You know, they are not telling a single word about the atrocities, you know, suffered, you know, inflicted by this butchers of monarchs in Saudi Arabia and in Bahrain on their beloved peoples who are brave. And you told rightly that they are not sitting down. Same is with Egypt, and same is going on everywhere. And I think this is just a hypocrisy. And, you know, it's just a double standard. And I wanted to ask the champions of human beings, shame on you, and shame on, you know, Western countries who say, their slogan is that they love democracy, but in this example, they are actually part and parcel of, you know, getting democracy down.
Indeed, they say that unrepresentative government is unacceptable. They say that we can't tolerate a state where the people didn't choose their government and cannot remove it. At the same time, pouring weapons into Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. You really couldn't make it up. John is on the line. He's in Sussex in England. John, welcome.
Oh, hello, George. It's a pleasure to speak to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? You're in, George?
I can hear you, John. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, George, the way I see things, you know, I mean, British arms south to Bahrain have increased, I mean, in the past 5 years, it's worth about £45 million. Now, you've got a situation in this country where for the last 40 years, the British taxpayers' money, instead of going into social services, it's being extracted into offshore accounts to fund these black projects, to put these British dictators in. Now, you know, we've presented forensic evidence to the BBC on this, of this massive fraud that's extracted trillions of pounds from the UK Treasury, and nothing's being done about it, George.
Yeah, I remember you said that before. Weren't you going to send me something?
Well, I did write to you, George, to two different addresses. Maybe you never received my emails.
I certainly didn't. Let me give you the best address now, which is george@galloway.global. If you send me the information, John, if it stands up, I promise you, I'll shout it from the rooftops. Thanks for the call. Yusuf is in New York. Let's go back there. Yusuf, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, sir. Go ahead.
George, if I could go a little bit off topic, you know, I really appreciate everything you have to say. I followed you for a long time, so I know you're going to disagree with me on this, and that's okay, because we all can have disagreements and agreements, but I do think there's a lot of Muslim people out there that are watching, and all they need to do is connect to the internet to find out that what I'm saying is correct. It's just some information that I feel that I should, you know, say. I'll go a little off topic, but it kind of connects to Bahrain. You had, about 2 weeks ago, I think you had promoted Bernie Sanders over Donald Trump. I just wanted to say there's some surprising things about Donald Trump. He is against the war in Iraq. He always was. He said George Bush lied to get into the war in Iraq and knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction. He is against the war in Afghanistan, and he wants to get the troops out immediately. Now, a lot of Muslims, including myself, it's a personal opinion, and a lot of Americans believe that 9/11 was an inside job. Donald Trump believes 9/11 was an inside job. So does his spokesperson. Donald Trump has called out Israel and the Saudis and the American government for supporting ISIS. Yes, I understand that he said he would ban all Muslims coming. That's not a good thing, but he's not talking about Muslims who are American citizens. Trump said he won't break the deal with Iran. You can look that up. He said he won't break it. Yes, he said some things that I don't like. He said that Muslims were celebrating on 9/11, but a protester did confront him on live television and said that it was actually Israelis in New Jersey that were celebrating on 9/11. Trump listened to him. He let him stay at the rally, and he said he was a Trump guy. Sanders, on the other hand, supported the 2014 attack Netanyahu carried against Gaza, where he murdered 2,251 innocent Palestinians. Trump says he wants to remain neutral. He's not taking any money from any Zionist or pro-Israel lobby causes. And the Zionist media in the United States hates Donald Trump. So like I said, I know a lot of people won't agree with that, but it's just a Google search away all the claims that I have made, and I would be happy to send those to you. And I just think it's worth noting that he's not owned by any or given any money by any Zionist media or Zionist.
All right, Yusuf, thanks for that. I will start by making the point that I was in the United States during the election campaign that elected, though actually he didn't win, elected George W. Bush. And to my absolute horror, I discovered that a very significant number of American Muslims had voted for George W. Bush for a variety of reasons, and I don't have time to go into them because we are supposed to be discussing Bahrain. The Muslims voted for George Bush and spent 8 years repenting at leisure. All I'm going to say to you now is that I believe that Donald Trump is stark raving mad. I think he's a dangerous, out of control maniac. And if he becomes the President of the United States with his finger poised over the nuclear button, then I will be setting sail for the South Seas as far as I can travel. And I think that that travel way is going to be rather busy, because the danger of the incineration of the world, already high, will be markedly higher if your new hero, Donald Trump, becomes president. Now back to the topic, which is Bahrain's fifth anniversary, and this is our anniversary here, the 400th edition of Comment, many of which, I'm proud to say, have featured the struggle of the people of Bahrain for freedom and democracy. A peaceful struggle, no weapons, a peaceful struggle that has been drowned in blood and torture and incarceration in the foulest prisons. And I want to salute the brave people of Bahrain for the struggle that they continue to wage, peaceful, democratic struggle, day after day, for five long years. Let's talk to Wahid in Berlin. Wahid, welcome. Wahid, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead, sir.
George, I mean, I'm an Iranian, but I live in Germany, and I can tell you that the German government has not done a thing, a damn thing, for the people of Bahrain. In fact, they have gone on to sell large amounts of arms to the Saudis and obviously also to the Bahraini regime. But the question I would like to ask you, since you were around during that period, you know, when we look back at the last 40 years or so, one begins to see that the relinquishing of Bahrain by Iran during the regime of the Shah, Pahlavi, was a mistake. That had Bahrain still remained under Iranian sovereignty, that the people of Bahrain, who are majority Shia, 65-70%, wouldn't have had to go through this tragedy that they have been facing over the last 5 years, and more, actually, under this Wahhabi colonial regime that has been imposed on the majority of the people of Bahrain.
It is a colonial regime. It was imposed by British colonialism. It was and is entirely beholden to colonialism, both British and American. And it is entirely dependent on the grimmest tyranny of them all across the causeway, Saudi Arabia, for the survival of the regime. A regime which represents virtually nothing beyond its own comprador of collaborators and profiteers. The majority of Bahrain is Shia, that's true, and they are virtually all repressed. But the majority of the Sunnis are equally repressed by this dictatorship. It is the most grotesque, absurd. You saw the pictures. It is a comic opera dictatorship by a dwarfish royal family without legitimacy of any kind, neither democratic, nor historic, nor religious, nor revolutionary. It is without any legitimacy at all. And it is to the burning shame of countries like Germany, like Britain, like the United States, and others who are keeping this regime in power. Wahid, I don't know enough about the period of the Shah. I was around, you're right, when the Shah was in power, but I'm lacking in detail about the precise relationship between Iran and Bahrain before colonialism. All I'll say is, as I consider the Shah of Iran to have been amongst the worst leaders ever to rule any country, anywhere, at any time, nothing you could tell me about the Shah would surprise me. Wahid in Berlin, thank you very much indeed for that call. He is phoning from Germany, where there has been no marking of Bahrain's fifth year of uprising. Our previous callers, both from New York, ditto, and our British caller certainly can confirm that there has been nothing, neither from the government of Britain nor the media in Britain, about the carnage of the repression that the Bahraini people are facing. Let's go to Reem in North Carolina, whom I always enjoy talking to. Reem, welcome to the show.
Peace be upon you, George, my brother. How are you?
And to you. Thank you so much.
Well, sadly, I've been watching the CNN also this morning, and I did not hear anything. As I was surprised. I'm familiar, of course, with the February, even in Egypt, the uprising that happened. So, same thing. There's nothing that I heard, or maybe like a small thing on the news, but nothing very much. You know, I think the U.S. is happy with the king.
For sure, the U.S. and Britain would like all Arab countries, all Muslim countries, to be ruled by dwarfish kings who rent out their territory to the former colonial powers, who allow others to steal their things and to dishonor their heritage, their history, their culture. Everybody knows what Bahrain is used for by the Saudi elite. And Bahrain deserves better than that. The Bahrainis deserve better than that, don't they?
The people, all the people who are oppressed in the Middle East deserve a better life. But I'm telling you, nobody will help the people there. They should be the one who take their own freedom by their hand. Nobody will help them. As I said, in Egypt, it's ridiculous, all the oppression and all the... Even the justice system. I've just seen something against like a 4-year-old accused of a lifetime sentence. You know, it's ridiculous. And nobody will do anything except the people. They should be the one who will take these regimes out. It's either a military dictatorship or a dictatorship by the king that's been ruling for years.
Yeah.
And... It's so bad.
And those foolish liberals who welcomed the military junta to power in Egypt are themselves now being thrown into the prisons and suffering the same fate as the followers of the Muslim Brotherhood before them. Look, the Arab world, almost without exception, is ruled by corrupt kings, puppet presidents, or generalissimos, and they all have one thing in common. They govern their country in the interests of others, not in the interests of their own people, but in the interests of those foreign powers who help to keep them in power. And most of these tyrants could not remain in power, not for 5 minutes, certainly not for 5 weeks, if their fate was left in the hands of their own people. The great majority of Bahrainis are rising up for freedom and democracy. The only reason they have not yet prevailed is that the tiny social base of the regime is stuffed full of weapons and mercenaries to shoot them down. Now look, I have to take a very short break, just for 3 minutes, for a short news bulletin. God willing, at the end of that news bulletin, I'll still be here. And we are discussing the fifth anniversary of the Bahrain uprising for freedom and democracy. On this day, our 400th anniversary of Comet on Press TV. You're watching the 400th edition of Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. We need your calls. We need your emails. We need your texts, your SMS, your tweets. Because we're discussing tonight a most auspicious occasion. It is the fifth anniversary of the uprising of the people of Bahrain against their dictatorial, tyrannical, unrepresentative, colonially imposed tyranny, the Al Khalifa dynasty. They are, as royal families go, a singularly unprepossessing group of individuals. They are without merit. They are without legitimacy. But they have, for the moment, the firepower to gun down those simply asking peacefully for the right to vote, to choose their way of life, to choose their leaders, to choose those who rule them. You might think, therefore, that plucky little Bahrain would receive quite a significant media treatment of such an auspicious occasion as the fifth anniversary. Not one bit of it. Let's see if it was any different on the west coast of the United States. Baz is on the line in Los Angeles. Baz, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi there.
Congratulations on episode 400. Looking forward to 500.
Thank you. God willing.
So, you already know the answer to your own question. Let me just start by saying that the majority of people in this country don't even know where Bahrain is, let alone what's going on there.
Yeah, despite the fact that your fleet is anchored there.
That's despite that fact, yes. And the reason, I suppose you know the answer to this too, is because Bahrain isn't really a subject of the mainstream media here. In fact, the only bits that we do hear about Bahrain on occasion have more to do with, quote, Iranian interference in Bahrain.
Iran actually did interfere in Bahrain, this dictatorship would have gone long ago.
Yes. But, I mean, large parts of the other narrative are mostly ignored, like what you mentioned, the fact that the country is under a military occupation by several countries, not less the Saudi army, the United States Navy, and, of course, now the UK Navy as well.
Baz, the mercenaries that they have hired and given citizenship to, as long as they were of the right religious stripe.
Yes, as have other nations as well, like Qatar, importing people from Pakistan and Afghanistan to kind of balance the numbers against the native populations. That's absolutely right. And you mentioned it yourself, you know, the fact that the ruling family there are a violent criminal regime. Well, they're not even Bahraini. They're Saudis. The Al Khalifa are from Saudi Arabia. They're the cousins of the Al Saud. They have no legitimacy there whatsoever.
You're right, Baz. It's a criminal enterprise, actually.
It is. It's a mafia family. And the reason the United States doesn't mention it, I mean, why would the U.S. government admit to the American people that they're allies with one of the most criminal mafia families in the world?
You're right. And we know, I've been there, we know what use is made of Bahrain in the bars and the other places of ill repute in Bahrain. It's used as a casino, a bordello, a public bar, a lounge bar by the elite in Saudi Arabia. And the local people might as well not exist. In fact, if the regime could actually transfer the local population of Bahrain, they would have long ago done so.
Absolutely, George. And it's no different from the eastern parts of Saudi Arabia as well. You know, the people living in the oil-rich areas of eastern Saudi Arabia who are Shiites live in abject squalor.
Indeed. Baz, thanks for that call, my friend. Always a pleasure to hear from you in Los Angeles. Hussein is in Bahrain, so we better hear him. Hussein, welcome to the show.
Yeah, George, thank you for inviting me. And I just want to know the other gentleman, he spoke about the Bahrain. He has doesn't know much about the Bahrain regarding the Iran claim to Bahrain and all these things. And I can tell you that it's, I have the history. 1971, there was a United Nations that made a plebiscite in Bahrain. Of course, it was a fake. There was no plebiscite. And to choose whether to choose the Arabs or the Iran. So at that time, it was made again by the American that to give away Shah, to give away Bahrain, and take the small and larger tomb in the Gulf, interests of the Gulf, to protect the interests of the Gulf, Persian Gulf. So it was against Bahrain, against the small and large tombs, which was given to Iran against that. That is a history of it.
And what happened? The Shah relinquished any rights that Iran might have had?
No, Shah claim about the Iran, about the Bahrain, that has, the American has given, against that, they given smaller and larger tombs in the interest of the Gulf, which is now possessed by the Iran now. Well, it's still Abu Dhabi is claiming that it's theirs. So at that time, they have swapped the deal.
Okay.
From Bahrain to, yeah.
Now tell us, Hussein, if you're able to, safely, how has the fifth anniversary been received in Bahrain? Has it received much media attention? Are the people much occupied by it? Or is this grim day just much like any other in the last 5 years?
Well, it is. It was a big show for 2 or 3 days. And there was a lot of... boys and everything was there, upset here and there. It is almost the same as before, and nothing will happen. See, it will go on, and I don't think so any can be changed here, anything here so far.
Well, stay safe, Hussein, and thanks for the history lesson. I will have to read up rather more about that. Nasir is in London. Let's go to him. Nasir, welcome.
Thank you, George. Good evening, George. Good evening to all listeners.
Good evening, sir.
Let me correct. You know, today I was looking, and yesterday and the day before, for the Western media, for the commemoration of the fifth anniversary of the uprising, or if you like, the revolution in Bahrain, it was none. Not even one channel has spoken about it.
Now, no, I haven't seen one word about it anywhere in the British media.
Now, the reason why, because, you see, those rulers, they depend on Western imperialists, and I don't know why they don't say it, on the Zionists, basically, because the Bahrain is on a lease. They have certain time, possibly, you know, one day, the rulers of Bahrain will leave Bahrain. Now they make it into like the Sunni against the Shia. It's not. Those people, they do not represent the Sunnis. The Shia are the majority. The Shia, you know, Bahrain belongs to their people, to the Bahrainis. But with those corrupt mafia, if you like, you can call them mafia.
I must say, when I was there, it didn't feel very Sunni. It didn't feel very Wahhabi.
It's not.
I was embarrassed to be sitting in the lounge of the hotel.
They sold their soul, they sold their dignity, they sold their principles, those rulers. I mean, to be honest, when they call themselves Sunnis, they're not. It's a problem, it's political, it's a greed and power. The Saudi the same, all those, the Middle East, they're all the same. Now they talk about a democracy. Where is the democracy? Now, United Nations, nothing happened. You know, the atrocities all over Bahrain, Gaza, Palestine, Egypt. I mean, even the knowledge illegitimate president, Sisi, dictator. What sort of world we're living in?
We could deal with the world, or we could stick to the Arab world, where almost without exception, as I've said, from the Atlantic to the Gulf, is ruled by generalissimos, puppet presidents, or corrupt kings. And there's 350 million Arabs, and it's about time they did something meaningful about that, don't you think?
Well, George, their days are numbered. Okay? It will be soon, you know, because everybody, now it's old, everybody knows it. Now, let me correct that guy who said in Britain, they don't know where Bahrain is, the majority.
No, it was in America.
When I was 5 years old, you know, I'm Algerian, 5 years old, I knew every country on earth. 5, 6, 7, 8 year old. It's not, you know, I don't need, I don't need the people to tell me where, but I find it out.
But you weren't in America, Nasir. That's the crucial difference. In America, just like other vast subcontinental countries, my wife, who's Indonesian, has just been there and makes the point that when you're in Indonesia, you think the rest of the world doesn't really exist. Your country is so vast, and the problems and challenges your country faces are so vast that you don't pay much attention to what's going on the other side of the world. And that's true of the Americans also. And we are talking about a country that chose George W. Bush and might choose either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump to lead them. So we mustn't expect too much in the way of international knowledge or knowledge of many kinds from the United States.
George, can I say one thing?
Go ahead.
Well, you know, when they say, you know, they make me laugh when they have an election in America. Every single president who is going to come, whoever left, they're all the same. They're all based on the same philosophy, same politics, and same. Otherwise, they won't be a president. So they have to accept, you know, they are a slave of those rulers. You know,
they're not exactly the same, Nasir. I know the point that you're making. Jack Kennedy wasn't the same as George W. Bush. And the reality is that if Al Gore had been president and he actually won the election, I believe the events post 9/11 would have been different under him than they turned out to be under Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and the rest. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. And I hope, you know, we love peace. We are all human beings on earth. We have the right to live in peaceful world. And I hope one day we would have a peaceful president of the United States who will sort out all this mess created by them and the Western imperialism.
Amin, amin. Thanks, Nasir. Let's stay in the UK and talk with Ramzan. Welcome, Ramzan.
Assalamu alaikum, George. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. Nice to hear from you.
Good. Fine. Thank you very much, George. Congratulations on your anniversary.
400th, yes. 400 yes. Not out, Ramzan.
Beautiful, beautiful. Inshallah, there will be more 400s, George.
Inshallah.
And inshallah, Allah bless you. Allah give you long
Thank
life.
You. Thank you,
you know? Inshallah. Well, what it is, the way we're going to celebrate is we're going to sign more ammunitions. We're going to send more advisors how to oppress the people of Bahrain. This is how we're going to do in 2016. It's a shame, Mr. Kamran, on you. You talk in one hand about human rights and lecturing all around the world, and yet you are not speaking out against Bahraini people for them and the regime, because the only reason why you're not doing that is because you are selling ammunition to them. Also, the Saudi government, you don't want to upset them because you're selling ammunition to them. Mr. Kamran, please, don't be two-faced twat, pardon my language, George, all right? But this is how I feel about him, you know?
Well, you're right, Ramzan, and we have a long history in this. I alluded to it earlier. Almost 30 years ago, I was raising the fact that the chief torturer in Bahrain, it was long, long before this five-year revolution, the chief torturer in Bahrain was not just a British man, but a Scottish man called Ian Henderson. And I was demanding of a succession of prime ministers from Margaret Thatcher, from John Major, from Tony Blair, from Gordon Brown, and from David Cameron. I was demanding the truth about Ian Henderson, a former British colonial official, and the British government. It was not tenable to me that this Henderson was supervising the torture tables in Bahrain, and the British government knew nothing about it. But that's another question for another day. Ramzan, thanks. Let's go to sunny Los Angeles again and talk with David.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you, sir.
Thank you. I have the answer to your question in three parts.
Okay.
Three very short paragraphs, one, two, three. I'm going to start with Professor Chomsky's book, Manufacturing Consent. It's a paragraph right out of the book about you analyzing the U.S. media. We are not analyzing the media on Mars or in the 18th century or something like that. We are dealing with real human beings who are suffering and dying and being tortured and starving because of policies that we are involved in. We, as citizens of democratic societies, are directly involved in and are responsible for and what the media are doing in ensuring that we do not act on our responsibilities and that the interests of the powers are served, not the needs of the suffering people. And not even the needs of the American people, who would be horrified if they realized the blood that's dripping from their hands because of the way they are allowing themselves to be deluded and manipulated by the system. I think it is accurate to say the corporate elite of managers and owners govern the economy and the political system as well, at least in very large measure. The people who so-called do exercise an occasional choice among those who Marx once called the rival factions as adventurers of the ruling class. Any dictator would admire the uniformity and obedience of the U.S. media. Chomsky, 1992. My second paragraph. Media in the West, George, particularly in the United States, is a business. Therefore, money and income motivated. Media earns its income from corporations, which are mostly part of the military-industrial complex. The more wars, terror, killing in the Middle East, the higher the corporate profit and lobby money for the politicians. So we here have a collaboration between the politicians, business and the media to wage and continue war and killing in the region to maximize the rate of return at the expense of the security and wealth of the natives. It is the people's responsibility to utilize internet and media such as Press TV or RT to make sure their voices are heard. My third paragraph, solution will only come when the old and new colonial and imperialistic powers military leads the region so they can have grassroots elections to have representative government to protect the interests of the natives and not of the colonial imperialistic powers. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'll stay on the line.
Well, thank you for a marathon reading of Professor Chomsky. I never tire of his wisdom. I question only one point that you made through him, or he made through you, namely that the American people would be horrified if they saw the blood dripping from their hands. I hope that that's right, but I have to tell you, David, I have my doubts, and not just in the United States either, because the United States and Britain has many people many millions of people who imagine that the Arabs and the Africans and the Asians and even the Latin Americans, and anyone who wants to know if Donald Trump is racist, they only have to read and hear what he says about the Latin Americans, about the Mexicans, for example, his own next-door neighbor, to see and feel and hear the venom, the racist venom, against people that they regard as children of a lesser God, less than them, subhuman individuals. That's how many millions of people in most Western countries feel about people they regard as less than them. They certainly believe that their own blood and the blood of people like them is far, far more valuable than the blood of people in Bahrain. And that's one of the reasons why this fifth anniversary has passed so quietly, at least in Britain. Let's hear if Ibrahim in London has a different point of view or agrees. Ibrahim, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
I commend your courage. I'm just going to go through it since we haven't got much time left.
Yes, thank you.
There is a total media blackout is on Bahrain, and people of Bahrain are really being suppressed. Even time to time we hear from Yemen, Syria, but Bahrain has been totally blacked out on the media. The Scotland Yard officers at this moment in time are on the ground suppressing and guiding the Saudi forces to suppress the Bahraini people and subdue them. And the British government basically selling more arms to Bahraini dictatorship to kill these people better. And of course, that's the protection money for British government and David Cameron to keep silent. And we should all also remember it was British government who helped the Saudis to get a seat on the Human Rights Council and now be able to block every single resolution with regards to Bahrain or subjugation.
Well, you've got it nailed down, Ibrahim. Yeah, you're a wise man. I'm sorry that we have run out of time. I hope you'll call me again, perhaps next week, because that's the kind of wisdom and clarity that we have to deploy here. This is a mafia criminal racket in Bahrain, and Britain and the United States and other Western countries are deeply complicit in them. God may forgive them or may not. I certainly never will. Comment_PressTV to continue.
Hello,